Hey there, I'm Jesse Hall, and I'm your host for Business Elite Brevard Edition, the podcast that brings you all of the influencers, innovators, and industry leaders from right here on the Space Coast. That's right. You are watching Business Elite Brevard Edition, and I am Jesse Hall. How are you all? It is a Wednesday morning, and we are broadcasting live from Space Coast Podcast Studios right here in beautiful Central Florida, Melbourne area, Brevard County. However you want to describe it, it's a great place to be, and it's a great morning to be here. I have a very exciting topic and guest in the studio today. Jaron from Groundswell is going to share with us all the cool things that are going on, from tech innovation to all kinds of different new startups and businesses coming on board, all these success stories as well. We have so many different brands that you may not be aware of, but they have started right here in Melbourne from just an idea, and now they're pretty successful. Jaron, what do you make of it? Is this just a new kind of like Palo Alto, or are we the next Silicon Valley? What's going on with this area?
I mean, if you look at the number of engineers that we have here per capita, we have more engineers than those areas, right? But they're a different type of engineer. They're usually in tech and large defense companies.
Of course.
So it's really giving those people who are in their garage with a book of ideas that they have, it's giving them the space to explore that idea, test it, validate it, and then scale it.
When you say that space, you are referring to Groundswell, the physical place.
Both the physical space, but the resources and the culture. So Brevard County is so based on tech and defense companies that that typically leads to a very closed off culture, because by the nature of them, they can't talk about what they're doing.
That's so bad.
So we're kind of the opposite of that. We're a place where you can freely explore your ideas, whether you have a physical office or a coworker or not. You can engage with us on all different types of levels to say, like, hey, is this idea valid?
Yes.
And what would it take to bring it to life?
And I love that, because there are so many people who their talents are kind of like, I don't want to say suppressed, but kind of like you don't hear about it until like maybe some soldier is deployed and, you know, some new device that was developed here, you know, and it makes like, you know, goes public, you know, and there's like, well, thanks to this, you know, defense company. And then they're able to applaud themselves, like, you know, because years and years it's been a development, you know, very hush hush. And until we're actually seeing it, you know, deployed and in action, we're not savvy to that as, you know, just regular consumers or even just people, you know, neighbors to all this that's going on here. Because we do have a tremendous amount of DOD here and a lot of defense contractors. And a lot of it is under closed doors, under, you know, in top secret manila envelopes. You know, nobody knows what's going on. But I got to admit that even the engineers that I know, they're not just a one trick pony. They have many ideas.
Yep, they have lots of ideas. Yeah. They have a lot of skills. And when you take those engineering skills and you put them in an environment where there's highly skilled branders, graphic designers, coders, UX, UI, and you bring that all together on under one roof with some really great mentors, and then with the ability to get them funded, it's magic.
And so when you say get them funded, do you have your own money? Whose money are we funding it with?
So really the heart of Groundswell is our three founders, who have a really diverse network of venture capital.
Okay.
Of contacts. And so we've helped companies raise over $50 million collectively since we've been founded in 2016. So our motto is, if it's a good idea, we can help you gain access to funding. SwiftPaws being such a great example of that. Female founded lifestyle pet product raised $750,000, right? And that might be challenging without a network like Groundswell that deeply knows that company, deeply believes in it, and is willing to tug on their network to get them the resources.
You know, when people say, you know, I got a great idea, but I don't know where to start. And I've heard that a lot. I mean, but it sounds like even with like pet products, I mean, there's nothing off the table for you guys. It's not just like tech stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good point. So I think when Groundswell originally started, it was traditionally a lot of software app focus, which we do and we can bring to life and we do really well. But we've kind of broadened our network, and we're doing a lot of consumer products, tons of e-commerce. We have a prototyping lab in the back of Groundswell with small injection molding machines, 3D printers, so we can design it, we can prototype it, we could do small run manufacturing, we can build your website, get you launched. It's really everything you need is right under our roof.
And that sounds really expensive.
It is not very expensive.
I mean, is there a membership?
There are membership. You mm-hmm. don't have to be a member to tap into our resources right. and get connected. We're a give first community. So we really believe that if we're good to you, mm-hmm. you're going to give back in some way. But yeah, you can rent an office. You mm-hmm. can become a coworker. We also host virtual office. So if you're working from home and you need to build out your Google business listing, we have yes. a membership for that as well.
So if somebody has an idea, what's the first step? Do they just call an 800 number?
They actually would probably call my cell phone number, right. which is on my email. But mm-hmm. they would come in and we would sit and talk to them. It's very individualized because people come in with different skill sets,
right.
their ideas in all different stages. So we really need to assess what is it that you're doing, mm-hmm. what resources do you need, and what will help you take a step forward. And then we kind of just connect from there. We really curate those connections based on what we know about our network and right. what we've learned about that founder.
Because I'm wondering, you know, there's got to be somebody who's going to listen to this and be like, but I've had this, you know, magical product in my mind forever. And after they talk to you, and then you'll qualify them whether or not it's you know, they could take the next step as to maybe come in, interview, or
yeah, I mean, so we're really looking for, like, are you coachable? Are you really looking for others to give you advice? Can you take that advice in and work it and mm-hmm. keep going? We also run an idea stage accelerator. We do this in partnership with an incubator in Orlando called Starter Studio.
Wow.
So it is designed for people who have an idea and want to test it out. So over 10 weeks in a cohort, they'll right. walk through customer discovery, building a financial model, building a business model, meeting subject matter experts, and then it ends wow. in a big pitch night. So it's a really great way. It happens mm-hmm. in the evenings. You don't have to quit your day job to do it.
Yes.
But it's a really great way to systematically sort through your idea because, like you said, this isn't their only idea.
Right.
So learning a system for systematically validating it and doing this discovery is incredibly valuable.
It sounds super valuable. I mean, everything that you guys have been doing, even the, you know, I would say like your graduates, who is it? Tomahawk.
Yeah,
that's like
Tomahawk
right next
Robotics.
Door now.
Yep.
They built their own standalone. I mean, that must have taken some big funding. You know, and how long does it take to go from startup to now building your own business and getting all that funding?
Yeah, so those are three guys who mm-hmm. started off in a small office at Groundswell, and like you said, about 7 months ago, we broke ground and opened up a 8,000 square foot. There is that's a huge. Big. Drone cage outside where all different things
are happening.
I'm always
looking for a drone to be flying in there.
Yeah.
Too.
So, you know, there's no defined amount of time. Every company has their own journey based right. on their industry. But really what you're seeing on Irwin Street is our founder, Bud Deffenbach, who mm-hmm. had this passion and this vision for seeing startups come to life. And yes. so he was able to buy up property and do build outs in a startup friendly way. Like, our motto is to always do what's in the best interest of the mm-hmm. startups. And you don't want a company like Tomahawk to leave. You want to keep right. all that knowledge so close together. For example, Tomahawk is getting some products done in our prototyping lab. They can have wow. access to it quickly nice. And easily, efficiently, as they need it. So that synergy between the companies mm-hmm. and really showing people like, hey, you could do it too. Right. It's kind of like our flagship building. We're really proud of it.
I'm proud of it. I mean, just it looks really cool. The logo, the whole, I mean, the cage. I mean, I actually, having researched for the show, I did the Matterport because I went to their website and did the whole Matterport. I kind of browsed around. Really, yeah. really cool space.
It's a very cool yeah. space to go from three people who took a big risk to right. 30 employees now. They're
wow.
outgrowing that building.
Are they really?
They have partnerships with Samsung, the UK military. It's so impressive in
right.
what they've done. They're super humble about it. But the problem they're solving makes a huge difference to our men and women that are on the battlefield.
Yeah, and people don't get that. You know, I mean, having surveillance, you know, at a cost of, you know, I mean, you know, and I'm not sure what kind of robots, but, you know, we all kind of are, you know, we all got our sci-fi things, you know, like the camera the size of like a mosquito or a little fly buzzing around on the wall, you know, doing surveillance. You know, when you could create like those kind of like spy kind of fun things, I mean, it's really cool to think that something like that may come from this area.
It is very cool. The yeah. fact that they're able to take all these robots and drones that have all these different controllers. Some of these controllers come in giant suitcases.
Wow.
And one person is supposed to carry all this and navigate all these different ones. So right. what they're able to do is take all that technology, put it into one handheld controller. It looks like what you would play with on an Xbox.
Yes.
And make it safer, lighter, and better for our men and women. And the fact that it is just being done on our little block on Irwin Street in Melbourne is it's so exciting.
What's going on with Irwin? I mean, it looks like there's a couple of vacancies, but then again, like, Maslow just did a beautiful big mural on your facade.
He did. He's our creative director.
I mean, it seems like you really teamed up. And I know, but, I mean, you know, I think most people in this area are familiar with the Diffin Balls. And you, I mean, having that team, that collaborative effort, and again, when you say a network that has funded already $50 million, you know, towards these projects, this is a movement. I mean, it seems like you got, like, really a good core amount of people just surrounding this whole environment, this whole culture. Are you building a culture?
We are. I think the culture and that sense of community is what we're so proud of. The way that our members support each other, collaborate with each other, lend their cars to each other if they need it. I just learned of that yesterday. Or it's the little things. It's when I come in and we have this blow up alien and the alien's like always in a different position doing something. Or people bring in a dinosaur just to add something to the culture.
Right.
It's such a great place to be. And it really stems from our founders, from Jenna Reed, from Bud Defebach, John Vecchio, Mark Moeller. Mm-hmm. They created that space with such good intentions that, like, I know you can feel it when you walk into the walls. It's a really well taken care of organization. So when I started about a year and a half ago with our operations manager, Shay Anderson, you know, it was really easy for us just to grow and do good things because it has such a solid foundation.
It is a great foundation. And, you know, you weren't the first ones in that space. I remember going to the skate park.
Yeah.
That was there before. And I was so devastated because I was the only place you could skate when it rained. And I was like, oh man, there goes our nice bowl and everything else. And not that I had like any animosity, you know, toward what was going on, but I remember what that used to be, and that whole area used to be, you know, I would say it's kind of blight. I think it's still listed as like an opportunity zone.
We are an opportunity zone, right, which is a great advantage to
people
that are doing federal contracting. Yeah. But take Riverview Park, for example. You know,
beautiful
park, but wasn't always being used for the things that you want a park to be used for.
Exactly.
Well, now that Tomahawk has expanded and Giver Packaging has expanded and Critical Frequency and Groundswell is growing, our members are walking around all the time. We're having lunches in the park. We do Food Truck Fridays, and you're seeing so many more families come and utilize that park and see it in a different light. So we definitely want to be a catalyst in the South Melbourne neighborhood to bring our business resources to that community and be part of that community.
And I think it's smart, you know, because, you know, by law with the Opportunity Zone for developers, I mean, you get like 10-year tax rebates and all kinds of incentives, you know, to come in and invest and just revitalize is what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
You know? But enough about Groundswell.
Yeah.
How did you get involved, and what made you so smart? I mean, did you always want to run a startup, you know, incubator thing?
No, I actually, I would frequently tell Bud over the years when we would meet every now and then for lunch that I wasn't sure that Groundswell was for me. And then it was the right time for me to kind of take this position. And now that I'm there, I adore it. Like, I absolutely love Groundswell. It's because the people there are doing big things.
Yeah.
They come from all over the country. Somehow they find their way to Groundswell, and they bring their different perspectives to our community. So I've always been a grassroots community developer, always into community building and really putting my hands around things. So being part of the startup community where you have to do a little bit of everything is kind of perfect for me.
I like that. And what is your background?
Yeah, so I have a master's degree in sociology. I went to the University of South Florida, where I really studied educational policy and the impact it had on low-income communities. And then I was only supposed to stay in Melbourne for a month after I graduated. My husband grew up here, and I got a great job at Florida Tech. And then I've been here now over 12 years. I did a lot of work when I was the executive director of Melbourne Main Street in downtown Melbourne, working on the hotel and the High Line and mural. So I've really had a chance to kind of be part of this effort to attract and then retain talent that is coming to the Space Coast, which I'm really passionate about because I think this is such a great place to live, but it's not a big city. You have to look a little bit harder to find those things that you're looking for if you're coming from out of the area. So I love having a hand in kind of shaping that.
It is an exciting time.
Yeah.
We're almost kind of going through like a little Space Coast Renaissance. What would you call this time, this era where we're getting private, you know, companies and a lot of private spending, private companies like taking over all these launch pads and all these facilities. I mean, you could look at the space complex and it's all just public company, one after the other.
Yep.
What's going on? How would you describe this?
So I really go back to probably 6 or so years ago now, maybe more, when we heard about Project Magellan in the newspaper. Mm. And Project Magellan turned out to be Grumman saying, you're our flagship home and we're going to bring a bunch of talent here.
Right.
And for me, in my head, I quickly went, we have to catch up to the quality of life needs that
right.
this talent is bringing to our community.
Right.
So for me, a lot of this is like playing catch up to that announcement and making sure that we have the restaurants, the shopping, all of the industries and infrastructure in place to make these companies be able to scale and stay here on the Space Coast.
Yeah, that's a big commitment. Are you prepared for this?
I think so.
You've been doing a good job.
Thanks.
You know, have you been recognized or applauded or you know, do you do public speaking events?
Yeah, I do public speaking events. I was a 4 Under 40 recipient.
Nice. Okay.
I joke with Shay all the time that my recognition is Bud and Kim kind of saying, right. "Hey, come be part of what we're building." I think that's like for me, that's someone who's been like watching my work and
right.
seeing what I can do and. You know, put me in a position where I can be a leader in this space. So
right.
I think that's good enough for me.
So the Space Coast is home for now.
It's home for now.
Yeah. You know, because Tampa, I mean, that's, you know, that's a great little town.
There's
you know,
concerts and bookstores and big malls.
There are big malls. And you know, but we are modest, I guess, in features. But we are, I think, super inundated, super saturated with just extreme talent. And
yeah.
cool little places, you know. I mean, we had just talked with Keenan Melanie from EGAD and all the things that are going there. But you guys have like your own events. Like you guys are creating, you know, not just a culture where people could come and see their ideas expressed and modified and like you said, you know, enhanced by other opinions. But now you're also incorporating just the public to come on in and do like little Friday, I mean, it's like Friday evenings you have a thing. What's that called?
Yeah, so the second Friday of every month, we host Idea Hour, and it's basically a casual gathering of idea sharing, beer drinking, and pizza eating. So people come.
And anybody can come.
Anybody can come, and you can share your idea, or maybe you've hit a roadblock that you're trying to solve. Maybe it's technical or business related.
Right.
But really, it's just an environment where people can come and share, and our network and our members will provide their expertise, and people can just collaborate and see what each other is up to. We do machine learning meetups. We have a SolidWorks training coming up.
Wow.
We have a cryptocurrency meetup.
I think I'm going to that.
It's super cool. We had a whole bunch of people drive down from Orlando last week just to kind of be a part of it. So our members have all this expertise and the fact that they're willing to host these events and share it to broaden our community and contribute back to Groundswell is what it's all about.
Exactly. And you do have like the team suites where people can meet at Groundswell. Do you have any other affiliation where people can find spaces? I mean, it sounds like they, if somebody did have an idea, again, you know, this product area where they could do the injected molding and 3D printing, that sounds fascinating. But what if they need more space to test their product? Or, you know, do you make the, I mean, it sounds like you're just making this web of a network, you know, for things, you know,
yeah.
I mean, tell us about some of the more affiliations.
Yeah, it really just depends on what that company needs. So, for example, we've been working closely with Bavard Achievement Center because they have excellent talent to help with assembling products or doing your mail out. So we might connect our companies with them and utilize their resources and their space. Or you might find, like the other day, a member showed up and said, hey, I just got 100 boxes delivered for my product. Where do I put them? And I'm like, you could put them behind my desk, right? Like, so you'll see around Groundswell, there is a ton of EKG machines right now at Groundswell because who we play for does their heart screening test out of our conference room. So we're super flexible and casual because that is what our companies need most, right? They make their space their own, but everybody gets the culture there. So it's never really an issue.
Because you brought up and because we play, right? Is that
who we play for?
Who we play for, I'm sorry. Let's talk about that because that's a fascinating ambition, and it came out of a very traumatic, you know, experience, and it seemed like it was more kind of like an epidemic that was going on, and because they're probably a nonprofit, right? I mean, it's all about fundraising and stuff. So I'm a big advocate for nonprofits. Why don't we shed some light on what that achievement is?
Yeah,
who they are and why they do what they do.
So Who We Play For provides preventative heart screenings to student athletes to prevent sudden cardiac arrest. Evan Ernest is their executive director. They are based out of Groundswell Startups. This summer we had 300 people come for heart screenings.
Wow.
To put it very simply, they literally save lives. The amount of stories of people getting a screening and identifying something that could have led to sudden cardiac arrest.
Little things, yeah.
Or now they're identifying something that they have, and now their parents are going to get screened because it might be genetic.
Wow.
And
that's
I
so
think
smart.
What is so impressive about Who We Play For is that they took on the most difficult task, which is changing public policy.
Right.
So Brevard County was the first school district to mandate it. Orange County just announced that you have to get a preventative heart screening. They just had a bill passed through Congress. That is the hardest, longest fight you can take. And they are so passionate about what they do and the students they serve and the families that they impact. There is no better place to contribute your funds to than to help a child get a heart screening.
You know, it's the saddest thing when you hear, you know, because here in Florida, the football season happens like right as they enter, you know, school in September. Well, guess what? You know, the preseason, you know, the practice starts in August. The dead of summer, these kids are already like, you know, just sweet, and they're doing two-a-days. You know, they do a workout in the morning, another workout at night, just to prepare to get into the season right when school starts. Well, that's got to add stress. And when you saw another kid drop, you know, just drops on a playing field, you know, in this county in Florida, another one, and it's just like, it was just like every year it seemed like, you know, there was another casualty to the training, and whether it's the heat and not being pre-screened and giving it your all, because as a high school athlete, you know, you're trying to get that scholarship, you want to get recognized by college scouts, and you can't let those kids just go out there and play their hardest and not, you know, be there, because, you know, not all of them have a physician.
Absolutely. They all can't afford that resource. Who We Play For makes it affordable for them. And when you look at other countries, what I've learned from Evan and the team is other countries are already on board with this, doing preventative screening. They've reduced it by over 80%. We tend to focus less on preventative measures here in the United States. And so that's really the push that Evan and his team are doing. But it's essential that they have these screenings that is low cost, that's easy to do. They have a whole network of specialized pediatric cardiologists that are on board that read these screenings. So what they've built is really impressive.
I just love that success story. Yeah. There's another one that I've heard, you know, and I just kind of want to highlight some of the achievements, because you guys have done great things, you know, besides the Tomahawk and Who We Play For. There's this kid making, he's using ocean plastic to create, what is it now?
So that's Dylan Cross with Sea Threads.
That's right, Dylan, yes.
He is creating the first performance wear from 100% certified plastic. So taking plastic directly from the ocean, it gets made into pellets, made into a mill, and then made into performance wear. The shirts are beautifully done. On June 8th, World Oceans Day, we're hosting Dylan's Kickstarter launch party. So you can come to Groundswell. You can pledge to buy a shirt.
Yes.
You can get a free mask. You can have a bite from a food truck and some Helm Blazes brews. But really what you can do is help Dylan bring his idea to life. So Dylan walked into Groundswell over a year ago now and said, I know where I'm getting my plastic from. I know I can get my shirts made. But everything else is kind of up in the air. He just graduated from Florida Tech. So what we've done is really surround him with resources. One of our mentors took the lead. He did a friends and family raise of $60,000 to get his initial funding. He went through our idea stage accelerator, and our founders have really helped him with his pitch deck and his next raise. So it's very exciting.
Dylan, congratulations, by the way. I mean, that's just so cool, you know, and because – you know, it's one of those things people don't want to talk about because nobody has an answer. And so it's uncomfortable. And there's a lot of that happens, you know. I mean, things just get swept under the rug because it's not a fluffy feeling, you know, to talk about these things. And ocean plastic, when you see some of these uncharted islands in the South Pacific, and they were beautiful at one point, but now they're just littered with dead wildlife and tons of plastic, and it's the saddest thing. And for somebody to address that and make it fashionable, I mean, quite essentially, right? Performance wear, you know, we know that as probably like a Lululemon or Patagonia and some of these other ones. I know Patagonia is pretty you know, forward into the whole sustainability method and stuff like that. This would be really cool for this area because, you know, there's a lot of fishing, a lot of golf. I mean, here in Florida during the summer, I go through polos, you know, if they're made out of cotton. So if I could have a performance, you know, like a golf shirt where it's breathable and it's moisture wicking, all those kind of things, hydrophobic, you know, these are all things that we want. And if Dylan can produce and, you know, go from shirts to hats to, you know, the whole thing and, you know, beanies, I mean, it's an exciting time. And I really love these feel good stories because, you know, the nonprofits, the people that are doing just creative things with just an idea. I mean, that's kind of like the Groundswell method.
That's what we do.
I love it. What's next for Groundswell? I mean, what other things are you guys thinking of? I mean, I know you're forward thinking.
Yeah. So yeah, startups always are living in the future,
right?
Of what's going to come next. Right. So we're going to continue to grow. I think you'll see us kind of establish an annual pitch competition that will be like a premier pitch competition on the Space Coast. In November, we'll host our second annual product market. Mm-hmm. So that is a fantastic event where we showcase all of the consumer products being made in our community and manufacturers behind them, many of whom are also in our community.
Right.
We're fortunate enough to partner with J-Con Systems for that event. They really believed in it and have stepped up this year to help us grow it. And so I think you'll see us continue to show the diversity of the type of companies that we help. We have a new e-commerce product that we're going to be launching probably fall of this year, which is going to make it easier than ever for individuals who have a product to get online, add a shopping cart, and start testing out their idea.
And is that going to be something from your website?
It'll be something from our website.
Wow. Okay. So not only can they go there, find all the events, all the cool things that are going on, but also be able to create their own store. Right.
They'll be able to create their own store soon. It's actually being developed right now by one of our members, Noel Saw, who's an extremely talented UI UX developer. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing, you know, COVID happened. You go, what's going to happen to a co-working space? Well, what we found was that came back kind of stronger than ever.
Right.
And lots of people started showing up at our door with physical products. And we go, we can do that too. And so we are always in the business of breaking down barriers of entry for entrepreneurs. How can we get you launched fast, quickly, inexpensively?
Mm-hmm.
So this tool that we've developed, which is sponsored by one of our mentors, which is so great, is really going to make it like a one-stop shop for e-commerce products.
Wow. I mean, That's I'll say revolutionary. I'm getting tongue-tied, but that's so thoughtful because there are a lot of soft goods, there are a lot of things, you know, consumables that are being developed, and I think that's just so smart. You know, having like a catalog of like, you know, Groundswell products, you know, and I think, gosh, I mean, that's like the new Sears, right? The new Sears catalog, and you know, who knows what that could become. I love the competition. You know, it could be like a Space Coast Idol or something. You know, we could you know, really have a good time. You know, the Pitch Fest. I mean, this just sounds like so much ingenuity is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else in the future? I mean, I'm thinking there's got to be some more collaboration. Are you guys maybe building another branch or expanding to Orlando, Tampa, or another market?
So we're only Space Coast.
Okay.
We will only serve companies that are living in the Space Coast or doing business with one of our companies. We're pretty restrictive on that. I think you'll probably see another building very soon that is next to Groundswell and another property that we were able to buy.
Nice.
And that'll serve some further expansions. You're going to see us really lean into additive manufacturing.
What is that?
So basically it's small run 3D printing, rapid prototyping, over molding. It's really quick, easy access to these tools that people need. Because if you're going to fail, we want you to fail fast. So let's get your product out.
That's
let's
funny.
Get you consumer feedback. Let's let you know so that you're not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to figure out.
I've also heard a really good one is fail forward.
Yep.
And if you're going to fail, figure it out, get back up, and you know, and just keep on going, because there's a lot of failures in any business. You know, there's ups and downs and stuff like that. I'm sure you're not promising that they'll never fail, you know, but if they can prevent it or just make you fail forward faster, so again, we can expedite the process. I mean, what's the shortest startup that you've ever done, like from start to finish?
I don't know. They're all really different, right? It depends on kind of what product they have, right? So some of our companies, you know, they can build out a software product over a year or a month and launch it and get users and get rolling. Mm-hmm. If you look at Mindstamp, they just won the Rollins Business Competition. They took home $25,000 for their interactive video platform. It's by Brett Lindenberg. It's a super easy to use, really dynamic platform. And then we had MakePrint. These are three students from Florida Tech. They just got second place at the Launch Your Venture competition, which is a very prestigious competition for students. And they're creating a software for 3D printers. All of their journeys are really different based on their individual skills and what, you know, funds and resources they have access to.
Exactly.
We recently launched a partnership with the University of Florida where we have access.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Okay. So we have, our companies have access to the fastest supercomputer in academia. UF established a partnership with NVIDIA, which is leading machine learning. It just so happens that two of the individuals who are leading that UF effort live right here on the Space Coast. One of them is a member at Groundswell. He leads our machine learning meetups, Mark Mayo. So it's all about bringing resources. This summer, we've done a pilot program with UF. So we've connected top engineering students at UF with startups in our community. And what's super unique about it is these students at UF have access to their design labs, their fabrication labs, all these tools, softwares, and resources. So, for example, we have a UF intern that's going to be working on a better battery for SwiftPaws using all of the lab equipment there and doing this virtual collaboration.
That's so forward.
It's very cool, but it's also part of saying, like, hey, UF students, the Space Coast is a great place to raise your family, to live, to grow your career. Come check us out while you're doing school.
Right.
Maybe you'll think of us again when you graduate. So it goes back to that effort of bringing the best talent here, and then how do we keep them here?
And then how do we keep them here?
I think a lot of it has to do with quality of life. It has to do with what type of restaurants we have, what type of retail we have, what type of events are we hosting. I mean, I've been able to go to Hotel Melby and go on that 11th floor and walk up there and look at our whole city.
It's
and
gorgeous,
go, here are developers who truly understood the potential that is in the Space Coast and are giving us that kind of higher end feel that we're looking for. But I do. I think you're seeing it starting to happen. So in Vieira, you're seeing like what I would call a real Sephora, right? You have Lululemon. You're starting, the stores are starting to catch up to with the capital that is here, what people are looking for. So we need to continuously evolve that. And we need to provide the events people are looking for. We need to foster that resident attachment so that they don't come here for 6 months and then go, where am I? I have to go. We have to work at showing people, hey, it's a little bit harder to find. We're a small town with some big city touches.
Right.
How can we connect you with those things that you're looking for?
Not only that, but it's a spread out kind of a county. If you go to the North End, I mean, you can find some really cool, quaint shops and stuff, you know, downtown Titusville and stuff like that. I mean, our natural resources, you know, the Merritt Island Wild Refuge, Playa Linda. You have, I mean, just our gorgeous, you know, beaches, Long Melbourne Beach, Archie Carr Preserve. You know, we have sea turtles. I mean, I think maybe it's we need to highlight some of those natural resources more and let people know that this is the place to be. You're centrally located, an hour from Palm Beach, or maybe an hour and a half. You're an hour from Daytona, an hour from Orlando and the theme parks. I mean, we are right where you want to be.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, geographically, it's great. Again, because, you know, Titusville, we're the longest shoreline in Florida, you know, 72 miles or something ridiculous. We're just so long. But you have between the Titusville, the Cocoa Village, Merritt Island has its own, you know, little culture over there. Of course, you know, the tourists, you know, love Cocoa Beach at 520, but the locals, you know, will hang out at Minuteman and downtown Cocoa Beach. You have all these little things, you know, downtown Melbourne, which, of course, you are intimately aware of, EGAD, you know, so we do have little pockets of different things to do and see, but how do we... I don't know. I mean, I guess that's more of an office of tourism thing, you know, to like really highlight those things and make it to where people just recognize all of our hidden gems. Because, yeah, we don't have like the big chains. You know, I wish there was a P.F. Chang's and a Cheesecake Factory and, you know, some of these others, you know. But where we're at is where we're at. And I think we're so much more of a maker And I love this because Keenan mentioned that, you know, it's more of a maker kind of economy where you're dealing with those people who are, they're the ones that made this, and you get to talk to them. You know, we're not just a bunch of big chains where you have no communication with, you know, who made it, who's behind it, who designed it. And I think that's what makes this area that much more, I want to say, like, intimate. You get to know the people, the fabricators, you know, the creators. And I love that creator culture.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what's really special, right? When you're shopping in our main street districts and you are checking out the cash register, it's most likely the store owner that's checking you out of there. I think a really good example is looking what the new owners of Apocalypse did. They took open mics, which was so loved, and they only enhanced it and brought great food and great coffee and great decor. And so it's creating more opportunities for people to put their spin on the Space Coast. But having it be so personal is such an advantage.
Exactly. And by the way, I did not have Jaren mention that because Apocalypse, and since she brought it up, is our coffee sponsor here at Space Coast Podcast Studios. And thank you so much, Mike and Christine and all the gang over there. Yeah, great people and super innovative.
Yeah.
You know, and they made it, like, they got their own apothecary, you know, section. They got their own vintage clothing section. And they roast the best coffee.
So well done. The food is so good.
The food. I'm there, like, anyway. We love Apocalypse. Go to more apocalypses, you know? I mean, we need chains of those. So anything breaking, anything else coming that you want to let everybody know and enlighten?
We're getting ready to launch our next accelerator cohort. So if you have an idea and you want to test it out in a cohort environment, you can go to our website at swellstartups.com and you can learn more about our accelerator. I would really encourage people to come for Food Truck Friday. All the engineers, you guys have every other Friday off. Come check us out. Come grab a bite to eat. Come grab a beer from Helen Blaze's, which is on tap right now, and kind of walk around. I am more than convinced that if you can walk into our building, you can feel the type of culture and the community that we are. And so come see us.
And tours are free. I mean, there's a receptionist that'll just take them around.
Yeah. So we have an operations manager. Her name is Shay Anderson. She is like a little piece of gold at Groundswell. I can't say enough about the work she does to make our community a community. But she'll give you a tour. She'll make you an espresso. We have really good coffee machines, locally roasted beans.
From Apocalypse? Okay.
There's always snacks at Groundswell. Today, I'm going to go back to the office, and at noon, it's our monthly member lunch. It's with partnering with Lytle Beckner for this one. And everyone will come out, and everyone will just grab some food, super casual. So,
I love that. And so where's the after-hours office?
The after
for Groundswell. Is it Helen Blaze's? Is it Crush? I mean, you guys are right there near the downtown.
We are. So every now and then we leave the building, but our members, we have a new member. His name's Scott. He's from California. He's an incredible addition. He's basically turned his office into a speakeasy. So sometimes at like 3 o'clock, we're having martinis in Scott's office, and he has a full bar set up. Sometimes the party continues to stay at Groundswell, our cryptocurrency meetup. Though it was only supposed to be an hour, people probably left around 11 o'clock.
Wow.
So you can, it's a really casual place.
Right.
Grab a beer, grab a glass of wine, have some pizza, some Cheetos, and kind of do your thing.
It sounds like an extended Greek kind of experience. you miss the Greek life? You miss your sorority? Come on by. No, but it just seems like you're really creating that just super casual, super fun, like, don't work hard, work smart, work with others, collaborate, you know, get stuck, knock on my door kind of thing. It just seems like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. So yesterday we just tapped our kegs, and so a bunch of us are standing around tasting the kegs, and before you know it, everyone's there sipping the new beer, right? And these are, a lot of our members are people that would be working in their home by themselves.
Right.
And now they have kind of like that coworker experience where they're having conversations at the microwave. They're taking a walk with someone around the park to take a break in their day. They're learning about what each other does. They're passing business along to each other. So we are essentially each other's coworkers. And that's kind of just how we operate.
I love that. I love that. Does it make you sad when they outgrow the space and they have to move out?
it makes me really proud of them. So it's bittersweet. So take Nobu, for example. Right. Benjamin Stern, graduate from Vieira High, got an investment from Mark Cuban on Shark Tank, was at Groundswell for a really long period of time, and now has a space on Palm Bay where he has his manufacturing lab. Like, we hate to see Ben go, but what a testament to Ben and the Groundswell community that he has had that growth. And he still comes back and participates, and I'll find him on the couch watching Netflix, eating Chipotle every now and then. So it's bittersweet to see them go, but if they have outgrown us, then they have done something right, and we as a community have done something right. So it's really, really a testament.
So let's add to your accolades. How many graduates? Is there a number? Do you make track of it?
So we don't really track it like that in the sense of graduates. I mean, we've now had 16 companies go through our Idea Stage Accelerator cohort. We just started that last year. We haven't had our first big exit yet, but that's obviously very, very close with the success of Tomahawk and others. But you know, a success to us is, you know, Swift Paws, a lure chasing toy for dogs, she's on track to do $1 million in sales this year. That's incredible.
That's super incredible.
It's super incredible, right? And so my favorite thing to do is to chip in when I can and assemble remotes for her, or just listen to her story to see where she started to where she is now. So I don't know that we necessarily have graduates, but we have all of these companies that are right on the verge of doing something even bigger than they're doing now.
That's amazing. Do you have a opportunity to do is like, for instance, the Shark Tank? You know, you brought it up. Do you guys do that? Does it feel like that? If someone were to go in there, does it feel like they're pitching to a bunch of investors, like a bunch of sharks, or what does that look like for somebody?
It's not really like that. So when companies get to a certain stage or are getting ready to raise, we will have them meet with our founders to really assess what does their financial model look like? How does that pitch deck look? What connections can we make? We have a company called Hire Llama that has a recruiting company. They work with talent in Latin America and connect them with companies here in the United States. They're working with Spotify, PayPal, TinyBeats,
big names,
huge company. So he's able to come in and say, okay, I want to raise X amount of dollars, and our founders are able to take a deep dive in that. It's a very, very specialized type of knowledge that you need when you're getting to that stage, and really able to help him and then get that deck ready, have him practice, and then connect him with funding opportunities.
Man, it sounds like just a almost like a new, like a business, you know, graduate level like business. Like, I mean, you know, people talk about like an MBA, and you know, this sounds like, this doesn't sound like what people are getting at university, but you're offering all those resources. I mean, wow. I mean, you know, they have job placement at university, but they don't have what you guys have. I mean, you guys really created like the next level for anybody, but you're giving high school students an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, without having to get degrees or anything else, you know, I mean, it just sounds like such a, just massive win, like everywhere, just win. If somebody is curious about getting on that waiting list, and that's kind of why I alluded to, like how many, you know, people are, you know, have come and gone, what's a waiting list looking like to actually be part inside the Groundswell brick and mortar?
Absolutely. So you would reach out to Shay, and Shay would put you on our waiting list. We probably have a little bit of a waiting list right now, but we will likely have two offices opening up in maybe about a month or so.
Okay.
And those offices are built for teams. So it's not just you, the individual, that gets access to the office and Groundswell and our resources. It's your whole team that gets to. So I would encourage them to continuously check in with us, and we will check in with them if they're interested in having a space there.
And we mentioned like the money. We mentioned the ability to make prototypes. What happens when you make a prototype and now you get the money? We haven't talked about IP and intellectual property. And do you guys have a lawyer or attorney on staff who helps people get those trademarks, copyrights, and protects their IP?
Absolutely. So we work very closely with Mark Moeller with Corridor Legal, who's a founder. We also work very closely with Steve Thomas at Lounge. They know our companies very well. They know how we treat our startup. So at that point, we will connect them with those resources. Right. And the great thing about Groundswell is our contacts are vetted. They're going to take really good care of you. Nobody feels a sense of responsibility to a person. They feel a sense of responsibility to the community as a whole.
Gotcha. So there's no fear of somebody going there and not having all these resources and somebody taking their idea and then doing it behind their back or anything else like that, right?
No.
I mean, you guys are filled with integrity. So even if somebody has no budget, no idea of what they're doing, but perhaps they just came up with something that now, you know, every American is going to want, or maybe everybody in the world is going to want. And you're going to just give them a platform. I mean, I think that's just, that's so generous.
Yeah. We've created a space where you can freely share your ideas without fear of that happening.
Right.
And anyone that may not be following that Groundswell Give First culture, we're not afraid to let you know. It's the
right.
most important thing to us is that there's no sales at Groundswell. Like, if you come in and you meet with one of our web developers, they're going to give you an hour of advice. They're not going to sell you a website package.
Right, right.
There's no pitches, no sales at Groundswell. It's really about giving the best advice you can to help that person and that company take a step forward.
That's so exciting. Any final thoughts?
Thanks for having me on and letting me share the Groundswell story.
That's easy enough. Once more, how do people learn about you? You know, as far as Facebook, you mean you have IG. Why don't you let us know how to find you on your social media?
Absolutely. So Groundswell Startups on Facebook. You can follow Swell Startups on Instagram. Check out our LinkedIn. There's tons of content there. Visit swellstartups.com. Friday's Food Truck Friday. Come grab some Bangkok Thai and hang out with us.
Last comment. Or less, I guess, question. I want to know what you see the Space Coast looking like in about 5 years, and we'll take us out.
Yeah, I think that we're going to continue to see, hopefully, mixed-use developments like the High Line, and I really hope that we see more affordable housing so that we can help residents on the Space Coast. So an unintended consequence of all of our success is that housing rates are really high, and so we need to take care of our whole community, so I hope we see more efforts put to that.
That's such a nice thought. What about the what about the space race? Are we going to be in Mars or the moon colony in 5 years?
I think so.
You think so?
Why not?
I love that. I love that. Jaron, this has been so delightful. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, thank you for all those who have listened or watched on our Facebook Live. Again, this is Jesse Hall, and you've been listening to Business Elite, Brevard Edition. And until next time, may all of your business be such a success. Take care, guys. We love you.